generation in which we live, the generation in which I came up, and unless God works, beyond that we have seen, the generation coming up will hear justified by faith in Christ Jesus, saved. And once you are saved, then you are eternally secure in Him. True. But unless I miss one, two times, in the passage that we heard this morning spoke about shall be saved. And then it closed out, grace reigning unto eternal life. Whatever your experiences with God was, it is not enough. It was not enough. If God is not saving us, then we never were saved. Sin, the biggest obstacle in our way to glory, most think might be the devil, but it is me and it is you. I do trust that grace will reign in your hearts and in mine, that we might cross the finish line. I've seen many, many turn back. It must not be with us. You've got to finish this thing. And it is called a way for a purpose. It is called a journey, a walk that you might know that you are not yet come to your eternal rest. We have brief moments within where there is rest. But they don't last. Those moments don't last. And we're then fighting again with sin. Within and all around us. So may God grant grace to reign always in us and for us. I ask you to turn this morning, if you would, to Judges chapter 19. And if we get to 20, there is a couple of verses there in chapter 20 that I would like to read to you. And Lord willing, In a few minutes, we will get down to verse 16 and following. But I want to deal with some of the verses before 16. You all are familiar with the story, no doubt, in my mind. And this may seem like an odd title, but I hope that the Lord will clarify it and make it a message, a stirring in your heart. But it's about, and the title is, An Old Man. An old man. Before we read or get into the scriptures, would you join with me as we seek the Lord and His dear face? Our Father, our God, our Lord. We come again to ask of Thee and plead with Thee in Christ's dear name that You might again cause the wind to blow. That You might provide heaven's rain. That the fruit of the Spirit might develop, blossom, and the fragrance flow from Your children into the places where they work, into their homes, and in this place when we gather. But I pray that it might never terminate upon us, but always returning and abounding to the glory of Christ Jesus, who purchased us. And that we might be made more sensitive and alert to the voice of Thy Spirit. In following and in serving. Now help these dear souls, the preacher, for we know well, maybe not the full extent, but we know well that without Christ we can do nothing. And Lord, my heart are precious souls out there, hurting, empty, be merciful to them. Whether it be this word are from another source, send them word to encourage, to challenge, I trust as you do to us. For Lord, I grow so weary. In such a silent day, and where there is so little of thy works in our hearts, come again, Lord Jesus, by thy Spirit, to manifest yourself. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. The story here in Judges is about a woman that left her husband and went after other men. Her husband had a right, scriptural right, to let it be. But this one, verse number 3, he arose and he went after her. And we have many times been like that, his wife. But thank God, Jesus Christ has gone after, came after us. And instead of strong rebukes, and this a rod, this will break your heart more than a rebuke, or God using a rod upon us, he spoke friendly unto her. And we'd rather have folk just tell us, you did wrong. Here's the punishment for your crime, then for them to be kind, speak friendly to us. That does not do away with the shepherd using the rod. Sometimes we grow so careless that we do not hear God. And we stray so far that the shepherd says enough and he'll break your leg. But he'll always mend it and he'll always pick you up and carry you till your leg is mended enough for you to begin walking again. That sheep will be careful on the path. Now in verse number 4, it speaks about the damsel's father retaining him 3 days. And that's okay. But the problem comes in verse number 5. And in verse number 8, verse number 5, it came to pass on the 4th day, when they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart. Now had he gone on with that which was moving his heart, and not worried about hurting someone's feelings, are not worried about the sympathy that they might throw at you, stay with me, and just go on and do that which is right. That needs to be done today at the expense of friendship, politeness, being courteous, or being kind. Do what needs to be done. That is your pursuit of God. And put it off. That is your communion with God. Don't wait till tomorrow. You may not have a tomorrow. What needs to be done is that you find bread today. You may not have strength enough on the last morsel you receive from God. So, get up. Don't worry about your wife's father-in-law, his pleas, his tears, his promises. We'll have one more day of wine and bread. But the man gave in. Now, John 11. John 11, talking right now about getting started today. John 11, verse number 9, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" You got light. And if you walk in the day, any man that does that does not stumble, because he seeth the light of this world. Now that's the natural light Christ is using to teach a spiritual lesson. Verse 10, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now you're living in a dark world. But I hope and I trust and I believe at least we have a little glimmer of light here in Goshen. And I believe if you will do that which is your duty to God, that you'll have a little light in your dwelling. That's all the light we got today. John chapter 12. And verse number 35. Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with ye. Walk while ye have light." If you don't make use of the day, night will follow you, and you're going to stumble. If you do not make use of the light that God gives you, then here's what God said. Darkness will come upon you. And if you walk in darkness, that man knoweth not whither he goeth. John 9:4, you don't have to turn. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, and no man can work. You got the day. You got light. Walk. Now let me very briefly from this and tell you in the physical realm, there was a time when darkness began to draw nigh, that you put up the animals and you put up the working tools and you got in the house. Work ceased. And the family gathered, and long time ago, the family was closer knit, because when the night came, nothing could be done on the outside, and within the walls of that family, there were little distractions. And the only communication that took place was with each other. Society, events, and the world was shut out. They didn't know what was going on. Their mind was clear of all the events. They didn't even know what was taking place 5 miles down the road. That was another world to them. And you had within the walls a family being knit together as a family. Generations passed. Modern conveniences were brought into existence, and the family time eroded. And what used to be unity has now become, for every person, becomes an individual, separate from the family. And instead of a personality developing into a oneness with the family, that the children begin to develop their own identity separate from the family. Factories, because electricity, power, light have been invented. Factories begin running 24/7. And due to World War II, the women were brought into the workforce because we did not have enough men. And moms and dads went their separate ways. And the family was divided into individual members and was no longer one entity. In traveling the little that I do, and you stop And he said, I am to get something to eat. And you see couples all around you. And instead of communication with each other, each of them's got a cell phone in their hand. They're either texting or they're talking to somebody else. And the things that have been such a help to us are now destructive and have destroyed the original design of the family. There's a good possibility that you are more familiar with your best friend than you are with the members of your own household. And there's a good possibility that you know more about other folks' children and other folks' husbands and other folks' wives than you do your own. Once we were confined, our little world was confined all behind closed doors in the darkness of night. And the family grew up as one. And everybody was there for the benefit of the other, others. And now, our neighbors have invaded our walls. And now, instead of a family, the entire society is our world. And we know more about what's going on in Washington than we do in our own homes. Or around the globe. And that which has been such a help and blessing to us, God has cursed our blessings. Because in all this, we have forgotten God. Back to Judges 19. In verse number 5, he rose early the fourth day. But he was talked into staying. In verse number 8, he arose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart. And the damsel's father comes again to him, pleading with him. If you're not careful, those closest to you may be the ones that draw you the furthest from God. Verse number 8 lies, and as they tarried until afternoon, and they did eat both of them. And when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, Behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray you tarry all night. His first mistake was not leaving early the fourth morning. His second mistake was not leaving early the fifth morning. And his third mistake was waiting too long to leave. The day draweth toward evening. I pray, I beg, I plead, will you tarry all night? Behold, the day groweth to an end. Lodge here, that thine heart may be merry, and tomorrow get you up early on your way, that thou mayest go home. So his third mistake was he left in the afternoon when he didn't have much light to walk in that day. So in verse number 10 and verse number 11, they get down to Jebus, which is Jerusalem, and this is Jerusalem before it ever became the city of David. It's not a place of Christians. It's not a place where God's children dwell. So verse number 11, and when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent. And the servant said unto him, Master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn into this city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. And his master said unto him, We will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. We will have no fellowship, Ephesians 5:11, with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're not going to let others tell us how we should live our lives. We are not going to let the times in which we live and the conversation out there and the dress style out there, we're not going to let it affect us. Now, if the dress style is modest, it's okay. But we will have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Someone blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And the ungodly is all around. You cut on the TV, you are either getting the news of the ungodly, you're getting evil reports, you're getting everything, and they have an effect, it has an effect upon us. Blessed man walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He stands not in the way of sinners. We are not here to make friends, to buddy-buddy with sinners. You are a separate person. You don't stand in the way of sinners, and you certainly don't pull up a seat with the scornful and sit down. If they're going to deride your God, you leave them. You walk away. Well, that would not be polite. Well, go ahead and offend your Lord rather than offending anybody today. David said, I have not sat with vain persons. Neither will I go in with dissemblers. I'm going to make the people of God my family. Now verse number 13 down to our text for the morning. Verse number 13, he said, Come, and he said unto his servant, Come, and let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night in Gibeah or in Ramah. Get down there to one of the cities where the children of God dwell. And they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin. Now the account is going to end up being about not only the old man, but about the tribe of Benjamin. When Benjamin was born, his mother in dying named him Benoni, the son of my sorrow. But Jacob was not going to let that boy go through life with that name. And Jacob named him Benjamin, which means the son of my right hand. And you would think if you get down there to a place in Benjamin, one of the places, one of the cities for the tribe of Benjamin, you'd think everything would be all right. So verse 15, they turned aside thither to go in and lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat down in the street of the city. For there was no man. That's how far true Christianity had fallen. There was no man. God told us about strangers and us entertaining strangers. Now that doesn't mean you take everybody into your home or you stop and pick up every hitchhiker. It's sad day that we can't help folk like that. But it does mean if there is within you that goes out for them, you entertain them because God may have sent an angel your way. And especially in this time, you just didn't let folk have to camp outside. Your homes were open. See, I was brought up in the early years when there were no locks on the doors. For the most part, that still is true for many, because it's somewhat safe around here, not as it was in my early years. So you didn't let folk stay on the outside at nighttime. You let them come in. Verse number 16, and behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at Eden. And it seems like that the old man had sufficient, because he provides for the man's animals. He has provided for his family. And he provides sufficiently for the man, his servant, and his damsel. But he was at work. And he worked till even. There is a difference between idleness and rest. The one thing that is most dangerous for any of us is an idle mind. Now, it's good for the mind to take a few minutes off, but you better be careful with idleness. You have all kind of thoughts invading your mind. So the old man was at work, and the old man worked all day, and it's time to go home, and he sees a man with all his possessions in the world, wife and servant and animals, out in the street. This old man was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah. Now why he is there, we do not know, other than this is where God would have him for the time being. So I want to talk to you about that old man for just a little. And when you start talking about an old man, it always becomes offensive to the younger generation. So I know that it is going to offend you to a point. When I was in my, it was 26, 27, I was sitting and the preacher said anybody under the age of 30 hadn't got sense enough to pound the sand into a rat hole. Now that was offensive. I mean, it offended me. I mean, I was of age and I knew everything. And so are you. Now you will admit that there are things you don't know. I'm not talking about that. But you know as much as anybody 40 years older than you in your mind. And you begin speaking, and I'm speaking to several of you that are the generation under me, and you begin speaking due to age and experience and that you gain from experience, it becomes offensive. I am not talking about arrogance in an old man that would dare say, listen to me because you don't know what I know. I'm not talking about that. But I just want you to hear what the falls and the broken bones and the missteps in my walk, what they've taught. And somewhere down the road, if you hear me, what I tell you will make sense to you. Now right now you know everything. You do because I did. My preacher didn't have any right to tell me that, but he knew what he was talking about, even though it offended me. And I also would remind you of this, Job 32:9, great or mighty men are not always wise. And neither do the age, because they've got gray hairs, doesn't mean that they are wise, and it doesn't mean that they understand judgment, but normally that's not the case if they're walking with the Lord. Take out the word normally. That's not the case if they're walking with the Lord. Now you sit here and you say, look at the things that we've invented. And the production of these things have made us wiser than the previous generation. And I speak to you about the old paths and the old ways. I don't know if you will remember one of our first, if not the first meeting here, I asked Tim to do the devotion the next night, and he said, preacher, don't do that to me. I said, it's not me, it's the Lord. And he got up and he spoke to us about removing the landmarks of our fathers. It was from the Lord. But you let an old man begin talking about this is the way it was. And immediately he's outdated in your mind. He's out of step with time, and he's just old, living in the past. Listen, what God said to our fathers, it's right for me. And the old past that God said for our grandfathers and great grandfather, it's right today. Don't care what progress society has made. What God said will always remain that which is right. And though I might seem old and out of step with time and outdated, it's not so if I'm carrying you to the Word of God and from that saying, thus saith the Lord. Well, so is the Bible to most folk today. It's outdated. We've got 1,001 versions. You know why? We wanted to make it easier. And one of the worst, I only read parts of it, came out in the 60s and had it spread in the 70s, and it was good news for modern man. And they who translated the scriptures into that book, God have mercy upon them. One of the things that troubled me was they took out the word virgin and they put in a young girl as to for Mary. Rotten to the core. I've got some of the translations. I love the Amplified. They don't change a thing. They just broaden out what the words say. And there are some other ones that are decent. But we wanted to make the Bible easier to be understood, so we brought it down into a language of today. And we did great harm to it. Well, I don't understand that old language. The these, the thous, the goest, the comest. Everything in this book is only understood by divine revelation and not our mental ability. So the Bible is outdated. The old paths, we found new ways. We found several more doors and how easy it is to get in. And you, preacher, you start talking about a narrow way and you start talking about a very small entrance. Why, we know better today. And this land has swept untold multitudes into the church that have never been converted. And we've made them twofold more, the children of hell. Even the Lord 2,000 years ago. Oh, what he said, we've explained it away and limited it to that generation. And you know what? We can have Jesus today as Savior. And if you decide you can make him Lord one day, God never put it in your hands to make him Lord. You don't have that ability. And you can't find in Scripture about when it's talking about being saved, but what always it says, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So stand ye in the way. If some of you men want to get to be old men, and you want to have something to say to the generation following you, follow God today. Stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is good, and that you might find rest unto your soul. Remove not, Proverbs 22:28, the ancient landmarks that thy fathers have set. They knew more than I do. But you say, but look at all the progress we have made. I remember when seeing tribes in the jungles with bones through their nose and ears, we thought that was almost unbelievable. Well, you don't have to go to the jungles, just go out in the street. Now, I'm not talking about earrings on a lady. I think that they can be very lovely. But I'm talking about from the top of the ear all the way down. I'm talking about rings and noses and rings and lips and rings and eyebrows and rings and tongues and rings on the navel. No difference in the heathens that lived in the jungle that stuck bones through their noses. And I've seen boys that are now men that put in these things that they spread and spread and spread. When they take them out, you can stick your finger through it and not touch skin. What's the difference in that than a bone? And that which we once thought was ridiculous is now the accepted norm. And you know what? I'm the old-fashioned one in seeing the disgrace of all of this. And the environment in which you live and the society in which you live and the conditions all around you have a way of changing you. Whether you know it, whether you will admit it or not, every last one of us wants to fit in. All of us. We want to be, or not to be, looked upon as an old, outdated dinosaur. And unless God helps you, you'll compromise not to be offensive. Well, the old man, and he's the only one in that place. Verse number 16. And there came an old man out of the field at evening. He is also of Mount Ephraim. And he sojourned in Gibeah. But now listen. Last phrase begins with that little conjunction, but which means except. He sojourned in Gibeah, but the men of the place were Benjamites. He's as odd as night is from day. He sticks out. He doesn't belong in that society, and yet that's where God's got him. But all around him, Benjamites. Oh, they got the name of being a Christian. And I've thought it, and so have you, if I lived in the days of Christ, that would have been a lot better on me. No. I've got the Spirit of God to reveal Him. I might not have seen Him. If I had seen Him, I would not have known that He was a Christ, except by the Spirit of God. Well, if I lived in the Puritan's age, when God broke in, where we've got all great works, where then they shed so much light. Or if I'd been in early America, Jonathan Edwards' day, when revival was here, I'd be more spiritual and I'd be more dedicated. No, you wouldn't. No. Circumstances and times and conditions around you do not make a man good. Don't care what age you live in. Don't care what the circumstances, even if it was a spiritual enlightenment going on all around you, that couldn't make you good. Only God can make an individual good. Now, circumstances and times and conditions might aid in bringing out our depravity and sinfulness, and that it does. Folks, just to be honest with you, there's not enough difference in us and those outside that the world can distinguish. And what Jesus told to His disciples, the world cannot hate you. Coming a day when they will. I would ask you, what would you do if you've got a little 13-year-old girl that's blind and her support for food was you? Would you go to prison for the sake of conscience? Don't tell me you would, because you don't know. I'm not bold enough to stand here and say I'd stand for the Lord no matter what. But listen, whatever providence or whatever providence has placed you in, whatever condition providence has put you in, whatever place it was designed by God for your lot in life, and don't use the conditions around us as an excuse. If times were better, I'd be more dedicated. No, you wouldn't be. If times were different, I'd be more separated. No. You're going to be where you are, wherever you are. Well, I'd be more holy if I lived Jonathan Edwards' time. Abraham worshipped idols. Enoch lived in a day when the world was corrupt and he walked with God. Noah had nobody to listen to him. Elijah was all alone. Zacharias and Elizabeth in a religious age in which nobody else, it could be said of them, were serving the Lord with a dedicated life. But it was said of those old two. And Anna, an aged widow, and Simeon, in a corrupt age, yet those old people served God. And it takes the grace of God having worked in you a strong resolve to be different than everybody around you. You're going to compromise. You're going to cut corners if God doesn't help you. Because you don't want to be looked upon as different. Now you're going to laugh at ungodly jokes so you won't offend somebody. Unless God provides grace to maintain that resolve, will everyone get tired of fighting the current? I do. Every Monday. It's a long day on Mondays. For I have to listen to all that's coming into my head. The devil, you should have said this, you should not have said that. It makes a long day. I get tired. The devil, you can't make a difference. Nobody hears. And if they hear, no one hears to the point of being changed. And that's what's going to happen today. You're going to walk out. But the old man here was unlike all around. Now I'll close with this, and I've been a little long today. How could a tribe in Israel fall so low as to tolerate that which God called an abominable sin? Men of that place come knocking on that old man's door that night and said, send out that man that came in. And I almost, you would say, well, why would he tell them, here's my daughter, take her? You almost want to say, why? But I think he knew that the men there were so wicked and vile that they wouldn't violate a virgin. Lot did that. Had these, the Benjamites, forgotten about Sodom and Gomorrah that God destroyed? Folk, they not only tolerated these wicked men, sons of Belial, they not only tolerated, they protected them. Chapter 20. When all Israel got together and said, we're going to do something about this. Verse 12, and the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? And all they asked for, verse 13, now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death. clean up Israel, put away the evil, put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. And God wiped out 26,000 men. Not because they were guilty of that sin, but because they not only tolerated it, but they said, "You're not going to come in here and tell us what's right and wrong." And the tribes of Israel wound up hunting wives for 600 men that escaped. 26,000 men. And there's no difference in that than America today. You dare not speak as I have spoken about these sins being abominable unto God. All that's got to happen is this to get out to public, and it's out there, for them to invade and say, "You're shutting this place down." And the government says to a lady, because she refused to bake a cake for two of the same sex marrying, "Okay, you're out of business." No difference then and today. And God destroyed a tribe in Israel. And folks, you might as well just buckle down the hatch. Because when a nation gets this low, destruction is the only thing awaiting us. And you're going to find out one day what it is to get to Christ, because you're going to need Him so much from all that's going on out there. You're going to find out what it is to get to Him, because you're going to need Him. God help you. And God enable you to grow up to be old men and old women walking with God, to pass something along to your children and the generation following.